Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mom Brain, proven strategies to fight the anxiety, guilt, and overwhelming emotions of motherhood and relax into your new self, by Elise Dobrow DeMarco, narrated by Vanessa Daniels. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to illustrations, worksheets, and charts present in the print and ebook formats of this book. Introduction. A scene from my life, 9 years ago. My newborn son, Maddie, is nursing for an hour, and I don't know how to get him to stop. I am poring over 3 different nursing books. Yes, I can read books while I nurse. I can also drink coffee and watch reality TV on my phone. Looking for advice about how to deal with Maddie. But I also need advice about how to deal with myself. I've been crying for an hour and am so stressed I can't eat. Where's the book to help me with that? This scene replayed itself in a variety of different forms. Me crying because I couldn't get Maddie to nap. Me crying because Maddie threw a Lego piece at another kid. Me crying because I'd inadvertently given Maddie scrambled eggs with an ant fried into them. Many times during Maddie's early years. It always went the same way. I'd become overwhelmed by yet another parenting challenge and start frantically searching books and the internet for answers. Picture me Googling, "What happens when babies eat ants?" While I was focused entirely on Maddie's needs, I never stopped to consider my own. Of course, my own needs were considerable, as are the needs of all new mothers. Becoming a mother causes a seismic shift in your priorities, identity, and relationships. You're tasked with keeping a little person alive and figuring out all of the things you need to do to make this happen. Because you've never parented before, you truly don't know what you're doing and constantly question whether you're getting anything right. Your former identities, as a professional, say, or a sports enthusiast or music lover, are abruptly swallowed up by your maternal identity. Your perception of the world and its dangers shifts dramatically because you suddenly have a little person to protect. Your responses to social media posts are now filtered through your mom lens, as you're evaluating how other moms' lives appear to compare with yours. Your relationships with partners, extended family members, and friends are put to the test, forced to accommodate the new little person who is now at the center of everything. And, thanks to our highly judgmental culture, all of these dramatic changes occur against a backdrop of relentless mom shaming. Mothers are evaluated for practically everything. For being too attached to their children, or not attached enough. For working too hard, or not working enough. For helicoptering, or free-range parenting, or God knows what else. So at the same time as you're trying to figure out what you're doing as a mom, and mourning the loss of the person you once were and the relationships you once had, you're contending with criticism and opinions from multiple sources: social media, other moms, and even close family members and friends. Everyone seems to care so much about what you're doing to help your kid, and so little about what you're doing to help yourself. So it's no wonder that as a new mom, I felt totally overwhelmed. My mom brain was consumed at times with anxiety, guilt, self-criticism, loneliness, shame, and self-judgment, as well as indescribable love, joy, and gratitude. It was in this state that I returned to work after my first maternity leave. As a clinical psychologist based in the suburbs of New York City, I started seeing a lot of women like me, moms with young kids who were experiencing drastic changes and wildly swinging emotions. Most had minimal support and few coping skills. I hadn't been trained to work with moms specifically, but I did have a long history of treating anxiety and stress, as I was an expert in cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, for anxiety. The results of countless research studies, as well as my own clinical experience, indicated that CBT and related evidence-based strategies worked extremely well in the treatment of anxiety, mood issues, perfectionism, and other emotion regulation difficulties. Why not, I figured, adapt these strategies for new moms, who, by virtue of all the stressors I mentioned, struggle with all of the issues that CBT was designed to treat. I realized that CBT skills could greatly help moms manage the tidal waves of thoughts and feelings moving through their mom brains every minute of every day. Let me take a moment to tell you what CBT is. CBT is a short-term, action-focused form of psychotherapy comprised of specific techniques that have been supported by research findings. The aim of CBT work is to improve your functioning by making changes in the way you think about a situation, the way you behave, and the way you interpret and respond to your emotions. CBT skills are often used in tandem with skills from two other evidence-based treatments, dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, and acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT. Like CBT, DBT and ACT offer specific coping strategies, with an emphasis on emotion regulation, mindfulness work, and values-based action. It turned out that CBT strategies and related tools from DBT and ACT were a perfect match for me and other overwhelmed new moms for a number of reasons. One, they are easy to learn. Moms can learn CBT, DBT, and ACT skills quickly and easily, without having to spend years in therapy talking about their mothers. Plus, these tools are clear and straightforward, so that even the most exhausted, brain-fried moms can learn them. Two, they are easy to use. Once moms understand CBT, DBT, and ACT skills, they can use them immediately, in the moment, whenever they need them. For example, a mom who reads a friend's highly curated Instagram post about her 4-year-old tennis pro daughter can immediately engage in cognitive and mindfulness strategies to help her manage her comparison-making and resulting anxiety. 3. They are enduring. Moms can continue to use CBT, DBT, and ACT tools as their children age. Maddie is now 9, and my younger son Sam is now 6, and I still use my skills on a daily basis to manage my own feelings of overwhelm. Just yesterday, I forced myself to take a mindful adult time out. When my sons came to blows over which Harry Potter spell would be most useful in real life. For the record, I'm partial to Accio. What mom wouldn't covet the power to summon anything she needed at a moment's notice? Can you imagine how many hours you'd save if you didn't have to continually look for stuff your kids misplaced? Once I recognized how well CBT was working for me and for the moms in my practice, I decided to make it my mission to help make CBT available and accessible to as many moms as possible. I started writing short pieces for popular parenting websites, but quickly realized that I had a lot more to say. CBT, after all, offered strategies for managing a wide range of maternal issues. I decided to present all of these strategies in one comprehensive book. Mom Brain is the result. Mom Brain is written for mothers of young children, ages birth to 5, who are contending with the unique challenges of new motherhood, which is to say, all mothers of young children. I chose the title Mom Brain to reflect the profound cognitive and emotional changes that occur when you have a child, and the many aspects of your life, identity, relationships, work life, self-care, that are strongly impacted by these changes. As we'll discuss in Chapter 1, Mom Brain is about a whole lot more than just forgetting where you left your phone. Mom Brain focuses on moms themselves and not on kids or parenting, offering concrete coping strategies for a wide range of maternal stressors. Throughout the book, I share many of my own personal stories, as well as stories inspired by the patients with whom I work. For confidentiality purposes, I do not share any personal information that would identify them. Mom Brain is organized so that foundational issues are discussed first, followed by deeper dives into a number of common maternal stressors. Chapter 1 discusses the many aspects of Mom Brain and provides a more detailed introduction to CBT, DBT, and ACT. Chapter 2 delves into the complicated emotional lives of new mothers. Chapter 3 explores maternal identity issues, including work identity, and details how values work can help moms come to terms with their new identities. Chapters 4 and 5 present strategies for coping effectively with anxiety. Chapter 6 focuses on maternal self-care. Chapters 7 and 8 tackle social media comparison-making and perfectionism. Chapters 9 through 11 are all about managing relationships post-kids. And Chapter 12 delves into vacations, holidays, and special events. A note about how to use this book. You can certainly plan to listen to it from start to finish, and frankly, if you can find the time to do this, I salute you. As an alternative, consider listening to chapters 1 through 3, which describe core concepts that will inform your thinking about your new life as a mom. Once you've done this, you can pick and choose which of the other chapters you most want to focus on, based on the particular challenges you're experiencing at a given moment. Mom Brain is composed of easily digestible sections, so even if you only have 10 minutes to listen, you'll be able to pick up at least one or two solid coping skills. And Mom Brain is one of those books that you can revisit throughout your little one's early years when the need arises, without having to start from the beginning each time. Each chapter contains a variety of coping strategies. It's important to remember that not every coping strategy we discuss will be helpful for you. This is because every mom is unique, and every kid is unique, and no two households are the same. You'll find that certain strategies will work better in certain situations and with certain individuals than others. As you listen, take note of the strategies that you think will be helpful for you. Try them out and determine whether and how they work best for you. CBT is experimental by design. It assumes that you'll explore a variety of different coping skills until you home in on the tools that are most effective for you. Once you've got those tools, they'll be with you for life. As I noted earlier, this book is for moms contending with the everyday stressors and anxieties of new motherhood. It is not designed to treat more significant mood or anxiety issues, and is not a substitute for psychotherapy. In chapters 1 and 5, I discuss when you should consider seeking further help from a licensed mental health practitioner. In the resources at the end of the book, I include a list of sources to help you connect with a helpful professional. If my years treating mothers and being a mother myself have taught me anything, it's that mom brain is a permanent condition. Once you have kids on the brain, you always have kids on the brain. According to my 76-year-old mother, this remains true even after your kids are grown. My hope is that I can teach you some tools that will help you embrace all of the changes, both positive and negative, that come with mom brain. So put aside all those books about how to best take care of your kid and devote some time to learning how you can best take care of yourself. I promise you'll be a better mother for it. Chapter 1. What's happened to my head? Mom brain and how CBT can help. What do you think about when you hear the term mom brain? If you're like most of the moms I see in my practice, and the ones I know in my personal life, you probably subscribe to the pop culture notion of mom brain, which suggests that new moms are prone to memory lapses, concentration difficulties, and general mental cloudiness. No doubt you've seen those hashtag mom brain memes, featuring a confused, disoriented mom with two different shoes on and a breast pump hanging from one of her nipples. The implication is that our brains don't work as well once small children, and the sleep deprivation that comes with them, enter the picture. There's no question that all of us moms experience periods of mental cloudiness and forgetfulness. I can cite here my chronic inability to remember to send Maddie to baseball practice with his baseball glove. But contrary to popular belief, there is no compelling evidence that mothers suffer from significant declines in brain functioning when they have kids. According to the emerging research on the topic, a mother's brain adapts so that she becomes acutely attentive to her baby's needs, thereby ensuring that the baby becomes a top mental priority. Basically, babies take up a lot of brain space, crowding out some of the other people and tasks demanding our attention, which is why we might be a little forgetful or have some difficulty focusing on non-kid-related things. The research findings are completely consistent with my own experience as a parent. When I had Maddie, he instantly became my top mental priority, and remains so to this day, along with his little brother, of course. No longer were the decisions I made solely about me. Now and forevermore, my kids were always going to be a consideration. What does this sound like, practically speaking? To illustrate, let me provide a window into my current mom brain. First, I'll list the contents of my brain in the year before I became a parent, and then I'll list today. Brain use on some random day pre-kids. Husband, extended family, monitoring headlines on people.com, researching vacation plans, work. What will I have for dinner tonight? Brain use on some random day post-kids. I can't forget to RSVP to Jack's birthday party. I need to take Maddie for a haircut. Why is there a Lego piece in my bag? I need to do laundry when I get home. Extended family. What can I make for dinner tonight? Will Sam eat it? If I don't register for soccer now, I'll miss the early bird discount. Husband. Crap! Is that pasta sauce on my shirt? Did I put sunscreen on Sam today? Work. I need to order water shoes for Maddie so they arrive before camp. Before having Maddie, I probably had a chic haircut, a recently expanded wardrobe, and a Caribbean vacation looming on the horizon. Currently, I have an unruly tangle of split-ended hair, bras that date back to the first Obama administration, and a season pass for Legoland. Clearly, mental prioritization is a big part of mom brain. You've got lots to think about and an ever-expanding to-do list. But it certainly isn't the only part. In recent years, mental health professionals, researchers, and curious journalist moms alike have been trying to expand our definition of mom brain, acknowledging that mom brain is about a whole lot more than just occasional memory lapses and shifts in mental priorities. Mom brain and your emotions. Mom brains are constantly awash in a sea of mixed emotions. We vacillate between heart-stopping love, gut-wrenching anxiety, soul-crushing boredom, and mind-blowing anger. Sometimes all over the course of one tuck-in. As we'll discuss in Chapter 2, this emotional roller coaster is powered by a number of different things: physiological changes, our sudden exposure to completely new and unfamiliar environments, our failure to meet the unrealistic expectations we set for ourselves, and our tendency toward negative self-judgment. Anxiety is a particularly pernicious maternal emotion. When we become moms, we suddenly find ourselves responsible for the life of another human being. An anxiety-provoking prospect, if I've ever heard one. Our anxiety is often fueled by social media, which subjects us to relentless comparison-making and mom-shaming. Even those of us who specialize in treating anxiety aren't immune to this. Before I had kids, I prided myself on being one of those people who could easily dismiss alarmist posts and stories that came across my social media feeds. But during those long nights of scrolling through social media while nursing Maddie, I found myself getting sucked in by every alarmist post I read. Whatever the crisis du jour, I immediately assumed Maddie was at risk. Had I drunk too much caffeine in my early days of nursing? Had Maddie spent too much time mouthing a toy made of non-BPA-free plastic? What if I got cancer like my Facebook friend's friend and died and left Maddie motherless? Every threat that came across my feed felt so much more terrifying and possible now that I had a little baby in my care. Mom brain and your identity. After you become a mother, your sense of who you are profoundly changes. Take Jen, for example. Pre-kids, Jen defined herself primarily by her work and always approached her job with single-minded focus. She pitied those parents who had to decline work opportunities and rush out of meetings early because of kid-related responsibilities, and vowed that when she had kids, she would never let them get in the way of her career. Cut to Jen at 5 months postpartum, calling into a work meeting, late, while walking up and down the streets of her neighborhood with her stroller-bound son, who was sick and would sleep only when in motion. Strolling past her house for the 12th time, she wondered, "How on earth did I get here?" Motherhood profoundly affects work life, of course, with moms having to figure out whether and how work will fit into their lives as parents. New moms also lose touch with aspects of themselves that they no longer have the time or energy to explore. Former social butterflies, movie buffs, gourmet chefs, and travel junkies often find themselves reduced to one role: mom. Mom brain and your relationships. Another central aspect of mom brain concerns the profound relationship changes that new moms often experience. Maria, for example, struggled with the significant resentment she felt toward her husband. Historically, she and her husband had always managed to achieve an equal division of labor at home. But when their daughter was born, her husband, intimidated by this new little person in his life, let Maria take the lead on most tasks relating to their daughter. By the time their daughter was a year old, Maria found herself doing virtually all of the childcare. While Maria was extremely angry about this, she felt powerless to fix it. Her husband truly did not know how to perform many childcare tasks because he didn't have any experience with them, and Maria did not have the time or energy to teach him. She felt stuck in a relationship dynamic that was not working for her or for her husband. Like Maria, many moms have difficulty relating to their partners and struggle to communicate and problem-solve effectively. Extended family relationships may suffer as well, as grandparents, uncles, aunts, etc., may turn out to be more over-involved or under-involved than anticipated. Friendships, too, often change, as moms don't have the time and energy they once did to devote to friends and might want different things from their friendships now that they have children. Mom brain, the bottom line. So this is where we find ourselves when we become mothers, responsible for the life of a helpless child, overwhelmed with complex emotions, juggling 800 competing priorities, and experiencing dynamic changes in our relationships with others and our sense of who we are as people. Our mom brains are undergoing profound changes and working overtime to adapt to our dramatically altered circumstances. So how do we adapt effectively? Often, our go-to coping strategies cease to be effective or even feasible after kids come into the picture. Take the popular sleep-in and binge-watch Friends strategy. It's simply not an option for, say, a stay-at-home mom with an infant and toddler in her charge. New brains require new coping strategies. Fortunately, cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and related evidence-based treatments offer a wide variety of tools ideally suited to helping new moms navigate the myriad and dramatic changes of motherhood. CBT for moms. As I mentioned in the introduction, CBT is a form of therapy that has been shown in countless research studies to be effective for managing anxiety, mood, and emotion regulation difficulties, among many other issues. CBT involves making changes in the way you think about a situation, the way you behave, and the way you interpret and respond to your emotions. Here are some important features of CBT. 1. It is present moment focused. If you come to my office for a session, I won't have you lie down on a couch and talk about your childhood. Instead, I'll have you sit upright. Unless you really want to lie down, I do have a couch. And tell me what your current difficulties are. CBT is less concerned with past problems and more concerned with helping you manage your problems in the here and now. This is not to say that we CBT therapists don't talk about childhood. And in fact, new moms often find it helpful to discuss how they were raised and how their parents coped with the many challenges of parenting. But generally speaking, we talk about present moment issues, such as how to avoid murdering that mom who won't stop asking you to volunteer for the nursery school spirit committee. 2. It is goal-directed. Related to the here-and-now nature of CBT is its mission to target well-defined problems that can be approached in a clear, focused manner. In this book, I'll encourage you to spend time identifying the problems you're experiencing and setting specific goals for tackling those problems. 3. It is strategy-based. CBT is comprised of a collection of strategies that are effective for managing different types of difficulties. My goal is to present those strategies in an accessible manner so that they are easy for you to learn. Unlike other self-help books, this one is light on clinical jargon and heavy on Real Housewives references. 4. It requires practice. Once you learn about CBT strategies, the next step is to try them out at home, in real time, so you can figure out which ones work best for you and in which circumstances. The more you practice using new strategies, the better you'll become at using them. The nice thing about the CBT tools I'll be sharing is that they are user-friendly, so even the most overscheduled mom can incorporate them into her daily routine. Strategies in CBT tend to fall into one of two categories, cognitive and behavioral. Cognitive strategies, rethinking your thoughts. Cognitive strategies help you explore the ways you think and challenge any problematic patterns that might be maintaining your difficulties. Certain types of thinking patterns are very common among new moms. Always thinking of things in terms of what you should be doing, for example, or assuming that small incidents will have catastrophic outcomes. Moms can benefit greatly from using cognitive skills to change these patterns. Take Yale, for example. Yale forgot about the highly anticipated pajama day at her son's daycare. When Mason walked into school and saw his buddies decked out in their nighttime finest, he began sobbing uncontrollably and continued to do so as Yale slowly eased her way out of his classroom. She presented this to me as evidence that she was clearly the world's worst mom. Obviously, there was something off in Yale's thinking about this. In focusing on the pajamas incident, she was considering only one piece of data, a thinking pattern we call overgeneralizing. More on that in Chapter 4. To arrive at her assessment of herself as a mother. Cognitive work with Yale involved encouraging her to consider the many other pieces of evidence that suggested she was a terrific mother. Her ability to make Mason laugh, for example, and use this evidence to make a more realistic assessment of her maternal success. Evidence is a key term in cognitive therapy. At the core of cognitive work is trying to determine whether there is enough evidence to support a negative thought that you might be having. My mom patients and I work as scientists, trying to amass facts to either support or refute negative thoughts. There are lots of different effective methods for amassing these facts, which I'll be sharing throughout the book. Behavioral strategies, changing how you act to change your mood. Not surprisingly, the goal of behavioral strategies is behavior change. It is often the case that changes in thoughts and emotions result from changes in behavior, as opposed to lead to changes in behavior. The phrase, fake it till you make it, or what we like to call acting as if in CBT, is a great illustration of this concept. If you initially act as if you know what you're doing, you'll eventually gain experience and, as a result, confidence that you actually know what you're doing. Behavioral tasks in CBT can be something as simple as setting an alarm to remind you to engage in daily self-care, or something as complicated as limiting the time you spend looking at your baby's video monitor at night, Trust me, that one is a lot more involved than it sounds. Recently, many of my patients have worked.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?